Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And it's Friday. Woo! It's the end of the week. We've made it.
Oh, John, it feels like only an hour and a half ago that we started this week.
Was it? I don't know. Something like that. Anyways, let's just keep it rolling with some Dune.
Yeah, man.
Why not?
Let's. We got a good minute ahead of us.
We do. On this Friday episode, we are going through minute 9 through minute 10. Yesterday, we left off with Jessica making her way downtown, walking past Faces Bashed, and she was Paul-bound. Spoilers, she is now Paul arrived at the station. Yeah. Not saying, hey, are you okay?
Nope.
Just completely, just right off the rip, criticizing him. Just saying, you never stand with your back towards the open.
Yeah.
And Paul asks if she's okay. And Jessica's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then Paul's like, okay, but what about her, pointing at his unborn sister?
So a couple things about this. One, it's creepy. Stop doing that, Paul.
Yeah. And
I don't think,
and here's the thing, Paul won't stop doing it. He's only going to get weird. He's
going to
get
creepy.
Fucking weirder about it as the movie gets on.
Yeah. So second thing, this is so something from the book happenings of the end of the last movie. So Paul kills Jameis. We know that, at least from the book exposition, that Paul had never killed a man with a naked blade before, or in that manner, is what Jessica says.
In the movie, Jessica says that Paul's never killed a man.
Yeah. Something that the movie leaves out that I think is a pretty important thing to keep in mind and to frame Paul and Jessica's relationship going forward in this movie is that she is terrified of what he is becoming.
Yeah.
Or maybe terrified is too strong of a word. Very conscious and concerned about what he's becoming.
Yeah. And I think we talked about that a little bit near the end of season one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's made pretty clear in the books that she wants to just make sure that he does not get a taste for killing.
She realizes she girl bossed a little too hard.
maybe. because as soon as she kills Jameis, one of her first things that she says to Paul is, how does it feel to be a killer? Which is a fucked up thing to say.
Yeah. Especially to your fucking kid.
Yeah. And the first time that he's knowingly killed a man.
Yeah.
So I viewed this conversation, like when she just runs up to him and says, you know, never stand with your back towards the open, as kind of a continuation of that. She's not being coddling by any stretch of the imagination. She is staying on his ass, making sure that he does not get really too big of an ego, or just too comfortable in this setting. So that's how I read the scene.
Fair.
Yep.
Very fair. But yeah, Paul's being fucking weird asking about his unborn
sister.
Stop
doing that, man. That's super
He's
fucking weird.
He's not going to stop. He's going to keep doing it. And it's going to get weirder.
So the eclipse is ending.
Yeah. Unfortunately. What a fucking cool shot.
Yeah. Like, we've said it millions of times, but we're going to say it again. Not millions. A bunch of times. We're going to say it again.
No, we have actual, literal millions.
Yes, I am so just hearing that this was kind of a thing that, I mean, maybe they didn't happen upon it, but it was something that was a natural occurrence that they were able to film, was really cool.
So it wasn't a total solar eclipse that they were able to film. Part of this was like definitely edited movie magic and everything.
Sure.
But the parts that we see where we have the scene, and this is all from Art and Soul, but the parts where we see where we have the sun cut off by both moons is what they were able to film. Now, the like complete total eclipse stuff, I think, was entirely CG.
Okay.
Because just looking at the map of the path of totality from this eclipse, because they give us the date of, I think it's like October 25th, 2022 or whatever.
I mean, eclipses are some of the most reliable dating structures that we have.
They are. Yeah. The heavenly bodies move very strictly in time.
Yep.
But yeah, this...
We can math the shit out of those.
Yeah. Yeah, October 25th, 2022. If you go look up that map of the path of totality versus the 90% band and the 80% band, Wadi Rum and the southwest of Jordan... And the north of the UAE is in that like 80% band cool. or whatever.
So. Nice. That's really cool. So, but it is coming to an end, as all good things do.
Yeah.
And we start to see the Fremen regrouping. So they are, we don't really see what they get up to. We the camera focuses on PB&J and the goons on top.
Yeah. Well, it's safe to assume that like at least a few minutes have passed because we cut to the end of the eclipse and then we're back on PB&J.
Yeah.
Approaching the Fremen.
Yeah. So they've gotten all the goons from atop the spire, the rock spire, and they're just like lining them up. Stilgar is there and he just casually stabs one of them in the side.
Yeah.
While again, casually saying, they do not usually venture this deep.
Yeah. And Paul, you know, with all of his ego, is like, oh, well, they're looking for the last of the Atreides. And Stilgar immediately is like, you fucking idiot. No, they're not.
He's got some big main character energy
yeah.
going into this.
Yeah. No, Stilgar basically tells him, like, look, they're not, you know, only Fremen can survive out here in the deep desert. They're not looking for Atreides. They're looking for Fremen.
I think at one point, doesn't he say like, you think too highly of yourself or something like that?
Yeah.
Something along those. I was like, keep that energy, Stilgar. That's the energy we need against Paul.
Fucking put this kid down, knock him down a few pegs. Yeah. But instead Stilgar will not do that.
Yep. And he assures the group that they're taking them somewhere that the Harkonnens will never find.
Yeah.
He's fiddling with some contraption in his hands. It's not necessarily a blade.
No, it's a magazine.
Was it his gun?
Yeah. He's reloading the magazine
for the Mala pistol.
Then. Yeah. For the Mala pistol, which was the source of our kinetic impacts against the, face shields that killed off all the goons.
Either that or some rifles. Do we see any of the Fremen with any kind of rifles? They're just all using Mala pistols. Okay, yep. Cool.
Which we don't know where they are relative to these goons.
Yeah.
Because we do get some overhead shots of this Butte Mesa that the goons find themselves on top of. And there's nothing immediately nearby.
Yeah.
Which means that the Fremen were either like really well hidden on the other side of this Butte Mesa, which we know they weren't because that was the one guy looking out over the open desert and he gets fucking blapped in the face. Yeah. Or they're pulling some fucking like wanted ass shots, curving bullets and sure. stuff.
Yeah. Well, just so if they're only using pistols.
Yeah.
In the sense like those are some crazy, like you said, crazy, crazy shots. Highly accurate.
Yeah, I think you and I shoot at like 10 to 15 yards. Sometimes
up to 30, but
not fucking.
Yeah, no, nowhere near those distances. And these are using a Mala pistol is a spring loaded pistol.
Yeah.
It is this is not a gunpowder or any other kind of explosive projectile. This is just. Yeah, fucking pea shooters, basically.
Get fucking bodied, loser.
But they are highly effective. The last time that we saw one was Stilgar taking Paul's, that he took from Jameis at the end of the fight scene. Or sorry, slightly before the fight scene in the first movie.
Yeah.
Where he tasked Chani to watch Paul, keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm. This was after Jessica had bested Stilgar.
Yes, after that. And Paul pushes Jameis down, and that's where Jameis's animosity really starts to stem from.
Because I think it started before then.
Well, yeah, but it really amped it up because
he got fucking disrespected by a teenager.
Yeah, with this little white boy scurrying up a mountain. So, Yeah. But that's the last time we saw a Mala pistol on screen.
Yeah.
And okay, so he's reloading his gun. We get some shots of the other Fremen in the background, really just lining up the dead goons. Some of them are in suits, some of them are not. But the common thing is that they are being extracted of their water.
Yep.
Which is really cool. We get an awesome introduction to this practice, which we haven't seen before. It's been alluded to, you know, your water belongs to the tribe, and, you know, obviously water is a very precious thing for the Fremen. We get to finally see some shots of them recycling water.
Yeah. And this, I think the only time we saw any recycling of water in part one was the Frem tent.
Yeah.
Yep. Or the still tent. I don't know why
still
I
keep calling it. Still tent from the Frem kit.
Yeah. That's why I keep calling it a Frem tent. Yeah, the still tent from the Frem kit. And like we had that really cool scene where it was like womb-like in terms of how they designed it and everything. Yeah. Watching the water kind of go through all the pipes and everything that Paul then put in the Capri Sun pouch.
That's right.
But we have new Capri Sun pouches this time.
Yeah.
Directly from the source.
Yeah.
Because the Fremen have this like weird needle with a vacuum tube thing on it that helps pump all the water out. And we see the water like cycling through this. They have that really cool shot of the up close like water cycling through this device. Which
do you have
shout out to the prop makers? There's nothing in art and soul on this.
Oh no, I was gonna ask something different, but do you have any real world exposure to something like this? I do.
Not that sucks water out like that.
Okay. This is a very niche thing. This is a product of growing up on a farm in the country.
Yeah.
The tractor that we had was a 1960s Ford tractor.
Yeah.
Super old. We had to do a lot of work on this thing, but it had a on the main gas line going from the tank to the carburetor.
Yeah.
It had a little glass reservoir.
I've seen
where you could see the fuel going through it to make sure there were no contaminants in the fuel. So I'm pretty sure that's what this is.
Maybe.
Or something similar to that. You can see the purity of the water. And we have a little bit of little point of contention here that we're talking about here in a second, but it's over the words filthy water.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a little bit, but I think this is where they can see, you know, what's going into their little, I called them like World War II grenade looking canisters. They look like just a very classic American style grenade.
Except very elongated and huge.
Yeah. Very big, very big. But it's like, yeah, nothing's going to waste. You know, these Harkonnens have died, but there's still water there. Maybe they don't want to drink it. It's still water.
Yeah. Well, it can be used for still suits and other, other purposes.
At this point, Jessica gives her patented confuse look. And that is where our minute ends.
Or is it?
I think it is. So point of contention here.
Okay.
Well, not contention, a slight disagreement on our parts, which may be due to how we're watching the movie versus different streaming services.
Well, we're not watching off of streaming services.
I know, but which is why I'm so confused when we're having this conversation. What we're talking about is, does Stilgar say filthy water out loud at the very, very, very end of this minute? Or does it just show the subtitle of filthy water? Now, I'm in the latter camp because that's what I remember when I watched. John says that he confirmed, and I believe him, that he does say filthy water at the very end of this
minute. 9 minutes and 59 seconds, he says filthy water.
I'm inclined to believe him because, again, he just checked. That is not what I had written down in my notes, but that's fine because I took these notes a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I do not trust my memory that much for this small detail.
Yeah. The point is that we are watching this off of the Blu-ray.
Yes.
And the time code is off of the Blu-ray, not off of any streaming service in particular.
Yeah. Which is good to know. I mean, if you are for some reason watching along with the minutes that we put out, which you should not, that's crazy.
That would be insane. Please don't.
You know, depending on the service you use to watch the movie, the time codes may be a little bit off.
Well, we did notice that last year when we were first starting this, where HBO's time codes were not aligning with Apple TV's time codes.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's a your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
For the minutes. So we are going off the Blu-ray minutes then. Okay. So that's a small point of contention that we had. But it doesn't change the fact that that is the end of this minute.
It is. Yep. And that's the end of this week.
It is.
The spooky wind is spooky.
Spooky wind's back.
Talked about the weirding ways and now it's just, woo.
So, John, what do you rank this week?
It's a good high action week. I'm gonna give it probably a solid 7, I think. You know, we got to see some laser guns, we got to see some eclipses, we got to see Paul have a very fast sword fight, and we got to see Jessica beat the shit out of a dude with a very conveniently placed two-handed rock and very fast Jessica. And we got Sassy Stilgar.
We did. Right at the very end, we got Sassy Stilgar.
We love Sassy Stilgar.
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go
6. I would say 6.5 or 7 for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6. It was a pretty middling week to me.
Yeah.
It was good. I love the action scenes that we got. They're like small little bits of things that took me out of the movie that you wouldn't normally see.
Sure.
Just like watching it, but little small pieces, like Jessica's teleportation. That was weird. and you know, things like that. But
sure.
That is not to say this wasn't good. It was a very great week. I'm super excited to see where the heck Paul and Jessica, PB&J and the Fremen, are going next.
PB&J and the gang?
PBJ and the gang, yeah.
Well, we know where they're going next.
Somewhere where the Harkonnens can't find them.
Yes.
That's all we know, right?
Yeah. At least if we're only sticking to our knowledge of the movie and not, you know, having read the books a few times and the Dune Encyclopedia and all these other sources that we rely on.
Never heard of them.
Nope.
Anyways, we'll be back. So we will be back next week to continue this story and give you your ever, ever fascinating minute-by-minute coverage of Dune Part 2.
As always, you can find us online in a couple different places. We are available on Blue Sky if you'd like to get in touch with us. We are at DuneMinute.com there. Or you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if that's your preferred way of talking to people on the internet. But yeah, we are around. We are available to talk about Dune with people that want to talk about Dune. Obviously, it's why we do this. But yeah, we'll be back on Monday with a fresh new set of Dune Minute episodes for you.
All right, cool. See you then.
See you.